the parable of the sower. Jesus said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, you're going to have a hard time understanding any parable. And Jesus said the parable of the sower was about the kingdom and the word and the type of heart or soil the word was falling on. Which is interesting because there was four categories. Wenzel's taken off to a class, but he has categories instead of four types of seed. And the categories are interesting because they're all people who hear the word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is out of Mark 4, isn't it? And you can go to Mark 4 right now. We're going to go back to Matthew 25 in a bit. But something that's interesting here, these are kingdom parables. They're kingdom parables. We know this because of the parables that surround it and because of the instructions that go with it. First of all, a kingdom thing is something you are taking separate or in addition to salvation. In John 3, Jesus tells us that you got to be born again. You got to get salvation of your spirit before you can see kingdom and before you can enter kingdom. Now, if you enter kingdom, you're entering a realm that has its own set of rules. Romans 8 says it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, not the law of sin and death that's now operating. And as you move over into that law, there are things about the law you need to understand. And he taught more about kingdom than he taught about salvation. You know that, don't you? His parables were mostly about, and his teaching was mostly about kingdom. But the church today teaches salvation, and then the next move it makes is into the manifestations of the Spirit, which is how the Spirit operates in what? The kingdom. Or the church. To me, the best parallel between kingdom and church is that the church, the mature church, is a high level of expression of the kingdom. It's designed to be, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if we get a chance to get all the way through Matthew 25, you'll see that. Now, what's interesting about kingdom, what some of the things that distinguish it are, this is where you walk. You walk by faith, not by sight. Now you got saved by grace through faith, but now you walk by faith. And how do you walk by faith if not by sight? Come with me on a little journey. Romans 10:17 says, now faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So that my kingdom is based on walking by faith. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, that's born again. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us develop and let us walk by the Spirit. You walk by twos and more. There is an assembly of the saints that can't be ignored when you come to the kingdom. The manifestations of the Spirit that people start out with the born again. Sometimes they skip the rest of salvation for the body and for the soul. Sometimes they don't. Depends on your denomination. Peter knows all about those guys who skipped the body. He's writing a book to correct them. They'll all fall at his feet and thank him for it. They'll never argue with him. But there are some who skip the other parts of salvation, saying they've been done away with. Healing's been done away with. Peace, you really can't have it till you get to heaven. Blah, 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 blah. But salvation is there. And then we go on from salvation into what we call the gifts of the Spirit, because they added that word in the beginning of the chapter, but it was added. And really what it is the manifestations of the Spirit. That's the word Paul uses. And the manifestations include the gifts and the administrations and the works or the ministries. And these three things are categories that allow you to see the Spirit in action. Where is it in action? Well, it happens to be action in the church. The Spirit is given to profit with all. And it is there for the manifestation in the company, in the presence of the saints, to the glory of God. And so that church now is, we all get excited about those manifestations, and sometimes we run around chasing it. And that's not what we should be chasing. Why shouldn't we be chasing it? Well, but to earnestly seek the greater gifts. But Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom. Now, if he says that, it might not be a bad idea. And by the way, in the kingdom are all the things God's trying to provide for us between born again and heaven. Born again gets you into heaven. And it allows you to see and enter kingdom. Unless you're born again, you can't see it. It's a spiritual kingdom. Unless you're born again, you can't enter it. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's John 3:8. Now, when we get born of the Spirit, we're able to see and enter a kingdom which has, according to Jesus, all the things that you need from here to heaven. Matthew 6, for the Father knows you need these things. Why are you worrying about them? Why are you taking thought for your life, O ye of little faith? Because faith is how you walk in the kingdom. And if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, who? I'm going to ask you an interesting question here. Who is his righteousness? His people. You have put on the righteousness of Christ. So you seek the kingdom. Can I put it this way? You seek the kingdom and the church. You seek his righteousness. You seek the assembly of the saints. You seek where two or more are gathered together to bind and to loose, to release the kingdom. To pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And why isn't it done on earth or heaven? Because we are the ones who loose or bind. Just as Adam was originally charged with filling and subduing the earth. And we like to run around blaming God for not getting done what we've been given the authority, power, and commission to do. So we have a kingdom that we should enter. We enter it by faith. And if we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then all the things. Do you ever remember Deuteronomy 28? And all these things shall be added to you. What things? The things you're anxious about. The things that the world chases. The things that you need. They be added to you. Deuteronomy 28 says, if you will hearken. He's talking to the nation, by the way. Deuteronomy 28 is not talking to an individual or a priest or a king. It's talking to the nation. The peculiar people, a set apart people. And it says, if you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and be careful to do what he's commanding you to do today, then all these blessings will pursue you and overtake you. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, if you will seek first the kingdom, all those things that your Father knows you need will be added to you. Can I put it this way? Pursue you and overtake you. So there is where we get our provision, our protection, and by the way, the understanding and exercise of our authority. How do you start with your authority? You start by understanding that all authority on heaven and earth were given unto Jesus, and he gave it to us in order to go and make disciples of all nations. And if that authority is there, why can't we exercise it? Well, interestingly enough, that's exactly what the disciples asked Jesus when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they brought him the demon-possessed boy, some call him an epileptic boy, and said, "Will you please help my son? I asked your disciples to, and they could not." And Jesus' answer was the same answer as we give today. What was that answer? Two answers, actually. One, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Remember, that's what Elijah said when Nahum showed up at the king's door with a note from the Syrian king saying, "Heal my servant." And he said, "Bring him to me. He'll know there's a God in Israel." And the other thing he said was, "If I can, all things, everything the world needs, everything they're chasing, all things are possible to him who is a believer, to him who believes, all things are possible." And the disciples, those closest to him, been walking with him, watching the miracles, were trying to do it, and they couldn't. And they came afterwards and said, "How come we couldn't do it?" And he says, "You're a perverse," that means twisted, not going the right way, perverse. Perversion is when you twist something and make it go the wrong way. You pervert the course of justice. You pervert the normal social order. You pervert things and think you're doing a good thing sometimes, but you're not. You're a perverse and unbelieving generation, because the strength of the kingdom is built on faith. Well, now we're getting to another point we want to make here. When Jesus talks about kingdom, he talks about prayer, faith, obedience, hearing, but he also talks about time. And people grow weary in doing good, the scripture says, and so they don't reap. And time is a picture of kingdom accomplishment. Believe you have received, it shall be. What you sow, you reap. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. But there is time. I'm going to go in chapter 4. So we get to Mark 4 and we read about the word which is given to all. But there's four different kinds of people listening. It's a position in the kingdom. Interestingly, another some translations have and some don't, that Jesus also said, "How be it that this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting?" If you want to increase faith, prayer and fasting can do it. If you want to increase the ability, prayer and fasting can do it. But you know what prayer and fasting is more than anything, I think? Focus. When Jesus talks about kingdom, he talks about the word and time. We're going to see that as we read the primary parable, the one that you need to understand in order to understand the other parables. The word and time. The word in the kingdom is sown. There's a seed time. And then it's reaped. But if you don't have focus, you're like James says, you look in the mirror when you're talking, and you walk away and you forget what you look like. You forget who you are. You forget what you are. You're no longer spiritual. You become carnal. In fact, one of the categories is the temporal, not the eternal. Those who hear the word and spring up for joy. They're looking in the mirror of life. They walk away and they can't remember life anymore. It's gone. They're temporal. They're off somewhere else. When we get an understanding that kingdom operates from here, where I got born again, to here, where I stop walking on the earth, because I've gone to meet him in the air as he comes back, or because he hasn't come back, and I've just stopped walking on the earth, because I will always be with the Lord, and if I'm not walking in my body, I'll go there until I come back and my body's put back here for me. So that kingdom is to take on earth the glory and power and authority and witness of the Lord. Whenever they were sent out to establish kingdom, what have you done? They were to preach the kingdom has come, and then they were to heal and deliver and release. They were to bring salvation and the entrance of kingdom. See, it's somebody else this time. And when they would get that established, then kingdom could grow, because kingdom was to take you from here to the end of time. You are eternal, but you're still in time until the eternal is where you end up or comes to us. So kingdom is a time level thing. Salvation is already bought and paid for. It's done. There's no more time needed. Kingdom is where you walk. Wherever your foot treads, they told him in the old covenant, you can have that territory. You can have that area. You can have any part of the land I set out before you. You can have any part of the kingdom if you can learn to walk it. They wanted to learn to walk deliverance. You told us to go out and heal the sick and cast out demons. How come we couldn't cast out the demons? You haven't learned it yet. You are still not strong enough in faith. If you're faithful in a little, you can become faithful in a lot. And they said, increase our faith. And he said, if you had faith like a mustard seed. And then he says something interesting. You would say. When the faith starts, your word starts. The word is foundational in the kingdom. You would say. It's Luke 17, isn't it? You would say to this mulberry tree, to a thing, be uprooted and cast into the sea, it would obey you. If there's nothing obeying you, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It means your level of kingdom is not developed. And you develop kingdom by the word over time. Or as Psalm 1 says, he meditates on it day and night. And he's like a tree planted by streams of water. He's always green and full of sap. And he produces fruit in season. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? If you don't get this structure, everything else is going to be murky for you. The sower sows the word. Mark 4. Not Mark 3. Mark 4. And verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. This is a fundamental parable. The sower sows the word. When Jesus was instructing them back in Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you've heard this said and you've heard that said. But he was preaching kingdom. So he'd say, but I say. You phone up the doctor and say, are the test results back yet? And he says, yeah, you're sick, you're going to die, you're in bad shape. And all you do is say, but I say. That's the beginning of your kingdom. The sower sows the word. What's a sower? What's a painter? Someone who paints for a living, not someone who does their living room every 5 years. What's a farmer? Someone who farms for a living, not one someone who goes out and plays in the field a couple of days a year. What's a sower? Someone who sows to live. The sower sows the word. Anybody can throw a word out. But a sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road. In this parable, it's often taken Jesus is the sower. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. The word is sown. And when they hear, immediately a very quick turn, very short time, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. It has no time to produce. Do you understand that? Kingdom relates to time on the earth. Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown. On the rocky places. Who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but are temporary. They have no endurance. No time. They are temporary. Next year they'll be telling people how God didn't keep them. Didn't deliver them. Didn't keep chasing them. You know that song we sing, He's Running After Me? That's a salvation song. It's not a kingdom song. You want to walk kingdom, you run after Him. The scripture says, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Seek the kingdom, not sit there waiting for it to come after you. Kingdom is where you walk, not where you sit and wait. It's where you are active. But you have no endurance, no ability to carry that word and the thing it created in you with time. But you are temporary, which means there is no root. You're really good till Sunday at 3 o'clock, and then you're finished till Sunday at 10 the next week. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word. There are spiritual things happening that you don't understand, which are there to challenge. There is an enemy. There is a disruptive force. There is a destroying force. There is a stealing force. And it is working. And the word is designed to give you kingdom that can't be shaken and that will stand. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They don't say, it's running after me. They are safe. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word is a foundation, structure, and building block of the kingdom. If there isn't a little bit of, but I say, in you. Because if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, to this mulberry tree, and it would obey you. Now, others are ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, these carnal distractions are the weeds. And the desires for other things, those things are distractions. Enter in and choke the word. The word is there. It can't produce. And it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word. Kingdom is built as you listen to and meditate on the word. There are things being built in your spirit right now that you may not necessarily understand or know how, but it will produce as you stay in its presence a blade, a stalk, a fruit. And when it's time to reap it, instead of saying, oh my, you'll say, but I say. And some kingdom will come out. And that word sown on the good soil is heard and accepted. In other words, you believe it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. In other words, there's time. I've heard it, I accepted it, and there's time. But 30, 60, and 100-fold. How much time? When does it start being added to me? When does the time start? A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to, which words you allow. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. In this parable, we are the sower. What do we sow? The word. Being careful what we've listened to. Taking a full measure. Expecting it to be revealed. Expecting it to come to light. Cast seed upon the soil. The soil is a good and honest heart. It's your spirit that needs the word. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How long in the kingdom? Till it works. Immediately. How long till you harvest? You don't go from word, seed, to crop. You go from seed to leaf to stalk, but it's working. He goes to bed at night, he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not No. You are not walking by knowledge. You're not walking by your understanding. You are walking by faith. You have the word, you accept it, and you hold it. You don't walk away from it. You establish roots in it. You do not choke it, and you're not temporary with it. But well, how is it growing? You don't know. If I push buttons on this thing, I can talk to someone somewhere else. How does it do that? I don't know. So I guess I'll never use it again. You get in your car, you turn the key, the engine starts. Most of you don't know. But you still do it. You sit down at the table and you eat a nice steak with apple pie and ice cream. And you're alive tomorrow. How does that work? You really don't know. But you'll do it again and again and again. The soil produces crops by itself, the way your body produces energy and warmth and ability. Cognitive ability, social ability, financial ability. It produces it by itself. You put food in, it works. You put the word in, it works. The soil produces crops by itself. Don't ever insert your mind into the work of God. Look not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust its working. Jesus never said, O ye of little understanding, except to the Sadducees. He said, ye of little faith, slow to believe all that the prophets said. Slow to believe. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grade in the head. What does that mean? First, then. It means time. It means time. But when, that's a point in time. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. At no point does this sower, a man who casts seed upon the ground, at no point does he stop going to bed and getting up. At no point does he say, this isn't working. At no point does he say, I'm leaving here because I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted. Because when he put it in the ground, even though he doesn't know how, it started immediately. What's happening in the spirit realm starts immediately when faith has the word. Have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his spirit, but believes what he's saying, he shall have. There will be time, and he shall have. There is time needed in the kingdom. Do you know that the reason they came out 430 years after they went into Egypt? The fourth generation? Which proves a generation is 120 years, not 70 or 80. But they came out 430 years because the sins of the Amorites had not yet been fulfilled. There was kingdom happening and there was time needed. And so he wanted to tell them in Luke 18 when he told the story about the widow and the judge and said, this widow can wear this judge down by continuous application of the simple word, give me protection. And how much more will God come for you and do things for you? And by the way, he comes quickly. But don't quit. Stay in the kingdom. Stay in the word. Stay on the program. When you quit kingdom, you make yourself a prey. When you quit kingdom, you set yourself up for the curse. When you quit kingdom, you're asking for defeat. Because the promise was not to the Christian. The promise was about the kingdom. We receive a salvation that can't be shaken. Am I right? No. Hebrews says we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken. And in fact, let's just go quickly to Luke 6:46. It's also in Matthew. And we're going to go to Matthew. Maybe we won't today. But let's go to Matthew at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 7. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, the Sermon on the Mount is a primer on kingdom. But if you don't understand the parable of the sower and what he sows, you won't understand any parable well. Maybe you won't understand any parable. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, I'm sowing to you, hears these words of mine and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. The kingdom is founded on salvation, on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against his house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I just show you that so that you can go to Luke 6:46. Because there's more than one witness to this, and when there's more than one witness, you should pay attention. Why do you call me? And this isn't exactly, this isn't the same time. Jesus is giving a different sermon here, a different teaching. But he goes back to the same kingdom concept. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You're saved if you're calling me Lord. You made him Lord of your life, but you're not really acting like he's your Lord. He's just your Savior. He's your Redeemer. And do not do what I say. When there's a Lord, you should be obeying him. When there's a kingdom, there's a king. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I'll show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. What does that mean? It means time. He's building by acting on the word. It's a kingdom principle. Hebrews 12 says it's the kingdom that can't be shaken. We receive, everything will be shaken. Well, what's everything? That includes the saved. That's part of everything that can be shaken. But we receive a kingdom. When you're saved, you are to enter kingdom. Because we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken. Why? Because there's word, there's fruit, that the fruit remains, that your joy would be full, that you would have, that things would be added to you. So when did they start being added to you? Immediately. It didn't say find, establish, and grow in the kingdom. It said seek. When you turn your attention to seek, he's got you in. Maybe you're a one talent. Maybe you came in as a two talent, but you're not close to a five talent yet. But you're in. You're seeking. Your attention is there, and it starts to work immediately. Things start to work immediately. Like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock, and when the flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it. That's a kingdom house, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard, he's there. And has not acted, is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, or could I put it this way, has no root, but is temporary. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. Time was cut off. You remember the farmer who thought he was pretty hot? We got any farmers in here that think they're pretty hot? But anyway, he was building more barns. He was going to tear down his barns because he had so much. And God said, your time is up. Immediately it collapsed. Time was up. And the ruin of that house was spectacular. Well, it says great. It was spectacular. Jesus wants you to lay foundation in the kingdom where you begin to cast the seed on good soil and go to bed and get up. Now, some of the other points we've made around this is get your crop off before you plant another one. Or we took it out of Genesis. First he did this, and then he did that. Evening and morning, I go to bed and get up the first day, and it's good. I got it. I reaped it. Now I'm going to walk a little further in my kingdom. Then God said, let it be like this and that. And it was. And it was evening, and it was morning. It was another day. And then he took on day three. And he did one or two things each day. You be the same way. Grow the crop. Pay attention to it. Get something produced. And then go on to the next one. Or you're always, what did Bob Mumford say? How many remember what Bob Mumford said? I'm so disappointed. Somewhere in the 1970s, Bob Mumford said, he was talking to God and said, how come I'm always striking out when I pray? And God said to him, because you swing at everything that's coming over the plate. So you never hit anything. And that can be a problem. If you're planting something, pay attention to it till you get it. When will you get it? It's already started. But you're going to get it in season. You're going to get it according to your faith. You're going to get it when the word has produced. You're going to get it after the blade and the stalk and the head and the full grain in the head. We were going to go to Matthew 25 and read again the 10 virgins, because it says, when you start this, stay in focus, or stay ready. Stay ready for the delivery of the spiritual result you're looking for. The prize. Run to get the prize, Paul says. Don't run to get halfway down the road and then turn, go somewhere else. Don't go and then get choked out by something else. Run until you get something. Now, Sigmar wanted to play Days of Elijah again. And I said it would be okay if he was really nice. But Sigmar says, I'm not really nice, so I'm not sure what he's trying to get at here. No. I was in communion with the Peter and Doria. Who wants prayer? How about Jovan? Can we get him in?